Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, back to regular scheduled time. Thanks for tuning in last week a little early. It's the Doc Talk Podcast, hosted by Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it in L.A., California, 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick, so catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So before I lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place and hand off the mic, next week we go an hour, mark it down. It'll be 7:20 on the West Coast, pre-chat. We started out 7:30 to 8:30 on the East Coast, 10:20 pre-chat, 10:30 to 11:30. You wanted it, we deliver. And, boy, we will have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot more interaction with the listeners. And I see you guys coming on. I'll get to you momentarily. But we're excited about that and couldn't ask for a better show to produce than this one. So as I basically give it to you, Doc, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, boy, what a topic we're going to be talking about today.
Well, Mark, thank you very, very much. You know, people can get a hold of me at GJRMD308@outlook.com. Mark, we're doing well. You know, it's a good year. The summer is going on quickly. You know, we're in the 90s here in Pittsburgh. So it is, you know, uncomfortably warm, a little bit of humidity, but it is the summer days, and we're getting into those dog days of August. But we're not complaining, Mark. You know, the swimming pools, you know, normally here, they need to heat at night because they get cool, and they're cold during the day. But right now, there's no heat. The pools are hot, you know, the swimming pools. So it's kind of an uncomfortable day or days here in Pittsburgh. But, Mark, you know what? We're starting a series, and it's loss of senses. And we're going to start with loss of hearing, and then our show next week, which is an hour, we're going to talk about loss of taste, loss of smell. So we're kind of combining all these. But today's show is loss of hearing, and we're going to talk about the treatment of that. There are several types of treatment. The important ones in severe cases are implantation of hearing devices. And their hearing implants is what we're talking about. And in the past, we've only had one option for the most part in general for hearing loss, Mark, and that were hearing aids. And at this point, we have some other options. Rather than just hearing aids, we have implantable hearing aids. And the two that come to mind are something called a BAHA, B-A-H-A, which means bone anchored hearing aid. The second device we want to talk about are cochlear implants. And they're each for different clinical settings, and they have certain requirements that need to be met. You know, with the hearing aid industry, you know, Mark, things have changed. You know, hearing aids in the past have been more prescription, fitted by an audiologist or a doctor's office. Today, though, Mark, you know, you can go to a drugstore. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Costco. You can go to Sam's, and you can buy a hearing aid. In the past, they would sell amplifiers. Amplifiers are not a medical device, so they could sell it. The laws have changed, and again, now hearing aids, hearing amplification devices are what are being sold. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I have a little bit of a case I wanted to talk about, but we're talking, you know, audiology, doctor-fitted hearing aids, doctor-fitted cochlear implants and BAHAs, as well as direct-to-consumer hearing aids. So, Mark, that's kind of the setting for today's show in this first series of loss of senses, and that's being the loss of hearing.
Yeah, and we got some callers coming in here. Don from Sparks, Nevada, basically. He's contributed quite a few times on the show, and we're appreciative of him listening to us on Saturdays. He basically says the adjustment of hearing aids is a problem. When you put that thing on, sometimes the adjustments, how do you adjust them things to get the right level on it? I guess it's, he said it's kind of like trying to find the fine signal when you move the, you know, the things across an AM radio, trying to find that thing where you're not getting the static and stuff. Boy, what a great question from Don from Spark, Nevada.
Sure, Don. Yes. Thank you, Mark. Don, you know what? With regard to hearing aids, and I think we've talked a little bit about it in the past, you know, overall, how is the best way to do it is get a hearing test. That way, you know, your professional knows exactly where the loss is. The other thing is then once you have the hearing aid fitted to the hearing loss, and that's what is done at a professional's office, that the hearing aid, especially the new digital hearing aids, they're actually computer programmed to amplify only the loss areas. Now, once you have that and the hearing aid has been working properly, then you need to maintain the hearing aid. You don't get it wet. And again, the tubing needs to stay clean, as well as your earpiece needs to stay free of wax and debris. The other thing, Dawn, is the ear canal. The ear canal needs to be open and the fit needs to be proper. So just to answer the question, it's an ongoing process. It's never you buy it, they put it in, and then you're fine. Dawn, it needs maintenance to maintain the quality. And the quality are two. You want to be able to hear properly, but also you want to be able to understand speech. Let's maintain that hearing aid. Keep it clean. Also, the tubing area needs to be intact, as well as the ear canal. And you know, what we recommend in our practice, Dawn, is probably every 3 to 4 months, I have my hearing aid patients come in, and we do a little bit of a review, see how they're doing, seeing if anything has changed, seeing if that equipment is working, seeing if that ear canal is clean. Those are my thoughts with that, Mark, okay?
Yeah, Robin from Youngstown, Ohio, another contributor to the show, basically says, is there a difference, you know, when you go out, I mean, where she lives and where you live too, the snow, the rain and everything, if you can't hear too good, is there any waterproof hearing aids on these things, or is this you just can't get it wet? Wow, great question,
you know,
again.
Good question. Very good question again. You know, some of the manufacturers, especially the Starkey brand, they've been doing waterproofing of the hearing mechanism, especially in the behind-the-ear hearing aid, so that, you know, overall, if it were to get wet, if it were to drop in water, basically you wouldn't damage the contents and the microphone and the receiver. So there's marked improvements in that overall. But the other issue, of course, is the ear canal. If we're getting water in that ear canal, it's possible you're getting inflammation. And the other thing is mold. We've got to be very sensitive to the dampness in that ear canal and developing a mold infection. So, you know, again, like anything else, yes, they're getting better and better. They're solving a lot of the past problems with hearing aids, but we still need to be careful with regard to our own anatomy and trying to keep that ear as dry as possible. You know, we run into some problems, especially with construction workers, foresters, you know, working outside sweating. And, you know, we need to be careful that we don't get the sweat in that ear canal. A lot of my people take their hearing aids off when they're out in the field, and I ask them to put a piece of cotton in that ear canal while they're working. So we're not getting debris, we're not getting sweat in the canal, which can cause inflammation and irritation. But it's a great question. Manufacturers are sensitive to that. And again, I think, you know, the thing is we can get it wet, but we still don't want to get it submerged. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gail from Clearwater, Florida, basically says, just listen to Dr. Greg Roscoe every week, and you'll get an in-depth thing on what's going on. She said, you guys had talked about a while back, and I have stayed with that trend that you guys told me about not using Q-tips in the ear to push down the wax to compact the eardrum, and I've been staying on that. Does that wax build up even though I don't use the thing, or do I just use something now, a solution, just to get the wax out that builds up because that compacts the hearing too?
You're absolutely
wow.
correct. That's an excellent question, and it's an everyday question. You know, it's one of those things we deal with every day. And as far as the Q-tips, you know, the concern with Q-tips are the impaction, that basically we're putting that round object into a round canal. And again, typically we're maybe spinning it a little bit. Maybe we're trying to plunge it, but we impact the wax, the dead skin. So it's really not a cleaning instrument. Now, where it does work is on the outside ear. You know, the ear that we all see that has the little grooves called it's the concha, the external auricle. The Q-tip works great there, but it doesn't work in that ear canal. So we want to be careful. The other side of the question is, well, how do I clean my ears? And, you know, currently, even though there are wax cleaning kits at the drugstore, there are little tools that, you know, you can see on TV to clean the ears. You know, even some of our doctor's offices are still syringing ears. Sometimes it still creates a problem. And the problem being irritation, inflammation, can be infection, could be damaging the ear canal, could be damaging the eardrum. So that, you know, recommendation-wise is with your ears, and, you know, this is a very sensitive organ, let's go to the right professional. Even if it's once every 6 months, have your professional go in. Normally what we're doing today is we actually curette. We have a small spoon, if you will, to help clean the ear out under direct visualization and with light illumination. So we're able to see what we have so that we don't scratch the ear canal, we don't damage the eardrum, we get all the wax out, and maintain the quality of your health.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about that when we talked about the ear thing, and you know, Doc, when I went in, they put the solution in, drained it a little. They couldn't go too far in because it would have been up against, there was still a little wax still up against the eardrum. They figured that would come off in time because they didn't want to go hit the eardrum with it. How
sure.
delicate is that when you get it up against the eardrum like that, that wax?
Well, the eardrum itself, as you know, is a very thin membrane. And it's just a millimeter or two thick. So it's very tiny. It's like a drum head. You know, it's stretched very tight. So that, Mark, it doesn't take a lot of a penetration or pressure on it to tear it. You know, what I would say is, let's not get into that situation. If one
Wait.
Were to have a perforated eardrum from someone trying to clean their ear, let's get to our specialist, our ear, nose, and throat doctor. Sometimes we're able to do a patch to repair the hole and get the eardrum back intact. But let's avoid the encounter by being, you know, a little more aware of how this should be done, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, you hear this a lot, and now we're getting Lance from McKeesport, Pennsylvania, saying sometimes you can ruin the eardrum too. Turbulence, flying, stuff like that, loud music, you know, that causes a rupture of an eardrum. And I didn't know all that. I knew the music, but I didn't know the turbulence and stuff in airplanes, you know, taking off and landing.
Yes, he's absolutely correct. You know, as far as things that cause a damaged eardrum, Mark, the one is ascent. When you're ascending in an airplane, you have an increased pressure behind the eardrum. And that, of course, is like a bulging scenario, and you can tear it. Also, on descent of the airplane, the pressure on the outside of the eardrum is greater than the inside. So it's the pressure pushing in against the eardrum that can tear it. So that he's absolutely right. That turbulence, that, you know, pressurization can affect our eardrum. And the organ that's not working real well there, Mark, is called the eustachian tube. We know that, you know, we know the three parts of the ear. We know about the external ear and the ear canal. We know about the middle ear, which is the eardrum, the hearing bones, and the eustachian tube. And, of course, the inner ear with our balance center and our cochlea. But, Mark, the eustachian tube is the culprit in these rupturing situations. The eustachian tube is not opening nor equilibrating the pressures. So, therefore, you have a buildup of pressure inappropriately that tears this very fine membrane. And it could be, you know, an allergy, a cold, so that when one is going flying, they need to make sure if they're having a stuffy nose, stuffy head, let's take a little medication before I get on the plane. If they're having a flight that requires several descents, you know, going from one airport to another, then their final destination, the descent is the killer. We need to either chew gum while we're on the descending phase of the flight, or have a little bit of a decongestant in our system to help things stay open. You know, the loud sounds, Mark, are a little bit controversial. You know, people around the in industry, the old steel mills, people shooting. Seldomly, Mark, do we see acoustic trauma damaging the eardrum. Usually it won't tear it. Now, it'll damage our hearing and our nerve cells, but usually we don't see a lot with loud noises tearing that eardrum. But we still would like you to avoid it. And again, the flying is definitely an issue. Mark, you know, if you're climbing mountains or you're scuba diving, it's the same thing. You need to make sure eustachian tube-wise that you're working and you're able to equilibrate the pressures. You think that's helpful at all, Mark?
Well, I do, definitely. And we got a couple more. Sally from Burlington, Vermont, chiming in. Is there a middle-of-the-pack hearing aid? Is there an expensive hearing aid? Is there a cheap hearing aid that, you know, we're not in the Pittsburgh area to come and see you, but if we were, we'd definitely come over there. But is there a middle-of-the-pack type of thing that's good for us to get, you know, sure, over-the-counter or something? Wow, another good one out of
Absolutely.
Burlington, Vermont.
Sure. If I can digress just a little bit. The topic of the show today was, you know, hearing loss, implantable hearing aids. And we had a patient come in a little bit ago, and the gentleman came in and said, I can't hear. We went ahead, of course, and our protocol is when they come in, they need to see a doctor or a provider, then we'll send them over to the audiologist, as opposed just to have them come in and do a hearing test. Some of the practices, Mark, just an aside, that dispense hearing aids, all they'll do is they go ahead, bring you in, test your hearing, dispense a hearing aid. That's not health care. All right, it's highway robbery.
Yeah.
What one needs to do, and again, back to this one gentleman, came in, he had had hearing aids in the past, felt they didn't work, and was kind of down on that, but his hearing was getting worse. So the gentleman came in after he had gone to Walmart to buy an over-the-counter set of hearing aids for $200 or $300. He put
wow.
those babies in, and they didn't make his hearing any better. And they wouldn't return them, of course. Overall, he came in, brought the Walmart hearing aids, and said, you know what, I can't hear. You know, how about fixing me up and see if I can use these Walmarts? Well, long story short, the one ear was completely impacted with wax, which we did clean out. The other ear, Mark, part of his old hearing aid had broken off and was lodged in his ear canal.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
The Walmart hearing aids didn't fit, but indeed he had ears full of debris. So my reason here is that we cleaned the ears out, got all that done, were able to see all the landmarks and the eardrum. We then tested him. And the gentleman was right that overall he couldn't hear. He had almost lost the hearing in one ear. And that kind of brought up the topic here today of an implantable hearing aid. He was a perfect candidate for an implantable hearing aid as opposed to buying something over-the-counter or a regular hearing aid. But getting on with hearing aids, there are a variety of brands, qualities, but realize hearing aids are priced by the power. You know, if you buy a car that's a four-cylinder, it's a certain price. If you buy a six-cylinder, again, a certain price. If you buy an eight-cylinder, it's a lot more expensive. Same with hearing aids. If you only need a little bit of power, the four-cylinder, not real expensive. If you need that middle-of-the-road hearing aid with moderate power, again, not real expensive. If we need to go to the eight-cylinder hearing aid, they are expensive. So is there a middle-of-the-road? The answer is there is, Mark, but it's not a price situation. The issue is, what does our patient need? You know, I don't know if she needs a middle-of-the-road hearing aid that's inexpensive. What if there is a significant hearing loss? And there are many different types of hearing loss that we have, Mark. And that's why you need a professional. You know, we have pure nerve damage. We have problems with middle ear tumors. And, of course, we have middle ear infections. We have some patients, their ear canal has not completely developed, and they've never gone to a professional, you know, to go ahead and have an explanation. So long story short, I don't have an easy answer, but there are cheaper hearing aids wherever you'd like to look. The goal is to hear better and understand speech. What's the price for that? And again, you want to have someone that's a professional, that knows what they're doing, and that you have credibility with them. You can trust them. They're going to give you the right advice. So, Mark, that's my answer, long-winded, but that's my answer to that.
Wow. And then, you know, Tom from Dallas, Texas, coming in, basically standing there saying, how did you get the piece of that thing out of the ear canal? That had to be a delicate situation.
Very delicate. Well, you know, overall, some of these patients, they have quite a bit of wax, debris. Sometimes there's dry blood because they scratched the ear canal. So very gently, we had to go in there and actually tease this piece of plastic, which was stuck to the ear, out of the ear canal. But it is something we do. And again, you can imagine the very fine equipment that's necessary in order to do this, as well as the illumination. We actually used a microscope. We have a microscope for some of our patients that we use the microscope for illumination, and then we went in there delicately with tools and very gently teased this thing out. So very good point, very good observation.
Wow. I mean, when you think of these things, it's just simply amazing. As we, you know, kind of cap this and then take a few minutes to cap this topic today and bring up next week's topic where we'll be talking for an hour. And stuff, and boy, the listeners will come out left and right, I can imagine, with the extra 30 minutes. But cap this thing off as far as with what we've talked about today, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about next week.
Sure, I'll be glad to. Thank you all for listening today and your questions. Today, in summary, you know, I talk about these as a senses discussion, and that's loss of hearing, loss of smell, loss of taste. And that's what we'll be doing next week, talking about loss of smell, loss of taste. With regard to our hearing, and again, I did get a lot on implantable hearing aids, but there's a couple of different products that are out there. Depending on your hearing loss, we have hearing aids that are implanted right into the inner ear called a cochlear implant, and almost near deafness. We also have something called a BAHA, a B-A-H-A, which is a bone-anchored hearing aid. Bone-anchored hearing aid is where someone has a problem with their ear canal, eardrum, hearing bones. It's the air conduction system of the ear. So it depends on what the problem is. But in serious conditions, we do have appropriate implantables as opposed to putting a hearing aid in and out of your ear. You know, on the horizon, Mark, there are new implantable hearing aids that are available, not very popular, but they're available that can be implanted right against the eardrum, that we would leave them in for 4 or 5 months, then they need to be removed. No one can see that you even have it. We have that one. There's also a new hearing aid that is kind of neat that isn't real popular yet because insurance doesn't pay for it, and it's extremely expensive, but it is something that is up and coming for our listeners. So, you know, in our lifetime, we're going to have some new technology. The one hearing aid is called an Esteem, E-S-T-E-E-M. And this is something overall that's implanted in the middle ear, behind the eardrum. Very microscopic. Again, expensive, but again, it's up and coming. And again, nobody futzes with it because it's down inside. There's also another hearing aid that uses light rays to amplify sound. And that's up and coming. And again, it's like science fiction. But indeed, we'll talk about these again as they come up. Our next week in this series is anosmia and agusia. And that means loss of taste, loss of smell, and we'll sure talk about it and take questions. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so just to follow up on that as we wind this show down with less than 3 minutes, is there a certain age that the average person needs to retain a hearing aid? That question came up out of San Francisco from Denise.
Sure. Mark, you know what? I have a couple of things. You know, worldwide, there's 500 million people that actually need hearing amplifications. And I have some statistics here on who needs hearing aids, which age groups. Now, this is in general in this country as recent as January 2022. 3% of the people between 21 and 34 need hearing amplifications, 6% between 35 and 45, 12% between 44 and 54. Now, 25% of people between 55 and 64 need hearing aids. About 50% of people over 65 need hearing aids. I don't know if that answers the question, that there are people that need amplification in all phases of life here because they have a variety of hearing losses, hearing problems. Mark, in the field ranges, you know, why do people have hearing loss? Mark, there are tumors. There are strokes. There are diabetic problems. Some people have had drugs that affected the inner ear. So there's a whole variety of etiology of hearing loss. So it is something, you know, it's a big topic. It's a very important topic. And again, many people are affected. And, you know, Mark, everybody wants to hear. When we have our patients that don't hear, Mark, they tend to get a little bit excluded from conversation.
Yeah.
They get excluded from family gatherings. It's really a social issue. So it is something we take it very seriously in our practice. And again, we try to solve the situations. Again, you know, Mark, everybody has a certain means financially. So we try to fit our therapy into what the patient, again, needs, but also what they can afford and make it right and kind of cover all the bases.
Well said. Let me ask you, how can people get a hold of you again? And if they're in the greater Pittsburgh area, how they can come and see you with your great staff there?
Sure. Well, no, thank you. Again, communication is the GJR, MD308@outlook.com. If you're in the area and have a problem, you know, email us. You can always give us a call. You know, we are busy at times. Our waiting rooms are full. But if you need something, get a hold of us. We will try to accommodate your needs if you're in the Pittsburgh area. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And guys, and you know it, doing this show, he is all about looking out for the great people that come into his establishment and never a gouge or anything like that. Just You know, money comes and goes. Relationships are priceless, and so blessed to do this show with you each and every week, my friend.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, as we wrap this up, remember, make a note, next week we'll be on 10:30 in the east to all the way to 11:30, 7:30 in the west, all the way to 8:30. Mark it down. If you missed the show, catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. For Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in L.A., we'll see you next week, same time, same channel. And boy, I'll tell you, thank you very much for all you listeners that contribute each and every week. Have a blessed weekend, guys.
Thank you.